present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Sheila Hancock and William Rushton in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello. Welcome to Just a Minute, and I would like to take this opportunity right away on behalf of all of us here of wishing everybody a very happy Christmas. And I'm going to ask our four panelists to speak again, if they can, for 60 seconds on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we'll begin the show this week with Peter Jones. Peter, the subject is crackers. Can you talk on that for just a minute, starting now?
Well, I have known a number of crackers over the years. One of them lived in Ilfracombe. And another one was resident in Nottingham, which is a city famous for that type of person, I think. And there was a pub there where,
Kenneth Williams, Charlie.
Well, an awful lot of her.
Kenneth, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, so you take over the subject now, and there are 40 seconds left on crackers starting now.
Well, this can be a slang term denoting insanity or a mild form of scatterbrained idiocy, and it can be one of those things you pull at parties and out fall little bone nerves and body pieces and plastic little tricks, which are delightful and called howls of laughter and giggles round the table. Oh, the joy of seeing the folly of and all the lovely pieces of paper with a silver tinsel around.
William Rushton has challenged.
Yeah, I've never seen a holly up a cracker. So it's been...
It depends on your cracker. I bet that up Peter Jones is. William, what actually is your challenge then? Hesitation, repetition, or deviation?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And in that order.
William hasn't played the game so often, but after his triumphs of last time, I thought we might have been a bit more specific.
Deviation will suffice.
Yes, well, I don't think it's a devious thought, but he wasn't deviating from the subject, but it was a very nice challenge. Let's give William Rushton a bonus point for giving us such good value with this challenge, but leave the subject with Kenneth Williams, and crackers is with you 10 seconds, starting now.
And out of them I usually find a delightfully coloured paper hat, and I put it on...
Sheila, yes?
We've had lots of paper. We have bits of paper
yes,
coming
right.
out of
We've
the bottom.
We've had the paper before, Kenneth. And so a correct challenge.
It's right of you to remember these things. Yes,
yes very well. Good.
It's very nice when we start a new game.
She's in her adrenaline flowing, ain't she? Straight out the knife box, isn't she?
5 seconds, Sheila, for you to talk on crackers, starting now.
I once had a little cat called Crackers because he did somersaults and chased after balls of wool.
The whistle tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains the extra point. On this occasion, it was Sheila Hancock. And at the end of that round, Sheila Hancock has got 2 points, and Kenneth Williams got 2 points, so they're equal in the lead. William Rushton has won, Peter has yet to score, and Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject, my best day ever. Would you tell us something about that, if you can remember it, starting now?
My best day ever, I suppose, was their deep humility when I did become another kind of human being, that person who is subliminary conscious of a deeper motivation to life than hitherto was ever experienced. In the middle of Ceylon, a huge, great earthquake-like thing called Elephant Rock rears its head, and up on the top there I met a Tibetan who told me one of the great secrets of the universe. He said that when the setting sun shone its golden rays upon the Shwedagon pagoda, a deep truth would be revealed.
Hesitation. There was hesitation 3 seconds ago, and we were all chuckling. That's why he blew cool. Peter,
no
3 seconds for you on the best day I ever had, starting now.
It is, of course, yet to be. Next week, I hope.
Well, Kenneth did extremely well, but alas, Peter got in with 3 seconds to go. He got the point for speaking and the whistle went.
Right.
He's now equal in the lead with Sheila Hancock and Kenneth Williams. Sheila, the next subject is the perfect guest. Will you tell us something about him in 60 seconds, starting now?
The perfect guest will be someone who would give me the end of Kenneth's story, because I'm dying to know what the monk actually said. However, I also like people who don't demand anything of you, but just enjoy themselves. I hate people that leap to their feet and say, "Can I help you with the washing up?" Because invariably I don't do it anyway. I leave it till the next morning. And all it does is give me great feelings of guilt that I'm not doing it.
And Kenneth Williams has challenged.
I'm very dreadful hesitation there.
You have a correct challenge, Kenneth, and you have 35 seconds on the perfect guest starting now.
The perfect guest is someone who remembers that everything in your home was bought with your own sacrifice and your hard work. It's not someone who grinds their feet into your carpet. It's not...
Sheila Hancock is...
As far as I know, Kenneth never allows anybody to go into his house in case they put ash in his ashtray.
Yeah, but...
The only time I ever went, he said, "Don't you dare put ash in my ashtray. Don't you sit there." So I don't think he ever has any guests, perfect or not.
But the thing is, Sheila, that may be perfectly true, but the answer is that Kenneth is still searching for the perfect guest.
That's true, I wasn't.
And this could be his perfect guest, even if he's never been to his house. So he wasn't deviating, and he keeps the subject, and there are 20 seconds left, starting now.
He arrives at the proper time, not late, and of course we don't want him early. He also sits absolutely still without moving the feet in this wild and uncontrollable fashion, which sets everybody else's nerves on edge, and his conversation is terrible.
Oh, Kenneth, if you shouldn't have said that, you're being inundated with requests.
Anyway, Kenneth kept going with his perfect guest. We're also speaking with the whistle when got that extra point, has now got a good lead at the end of that round. In other words, Kenneth, you have leapt into a commanding lead.
Ah, the result of virtue and hard work, you see.
Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject is balancing the books. Will you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I've been trying to do that for many years with the aid of my accountant, but I can't really get anywhere near making the two sides equal. And I'm always getting unpleasant surprises and sometimes visits from the tax people who are always pestering me because things are in a state of confusion. And balancing the books is something that I feel is not natural to an ordinary human being, because we are irrational and we can try and save, for instance, fivepence by walking to work and then buying something on the way because we happen to see it in a shop window, which we wouldn't have done if we'd been in a taxi.
Yeah.
So this kind of thing is always causing me a lot of trouble and inconvenience. And the authorities are suspicious. They come from all over the country, knocking at the door, sending letters of various colors, blue demands, red, and sometimes registered.
That's the first time that's happened for a long time. Someone started with a subject and finished with a subject, didn't hesitate, repeat himself or deviate. He wasn't challenged, so he gets 2 points. One for speaking when the whistle went and one for keeping going for 60 seconds. Congratulations, Peter.
Thank you very much. It's kind of you.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Cicero. Will you tell us something about him in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, he's a contemporary of Catullus, of course, who was extremely Epicurean, but Cicero undoubtedly is much more influenced by the Stoical school of philosophy, which maintains, as he does in his writings, especially on friendship, that the true virtue lies in the altruistic, the knowledge that the duty is to be done regardless of whether it gives you pleasure or not. That is to say, the morality consists of wrong and right being inalienable, incapable of modification.
William Rushton...
He's being extravagantly dull, anything. I mean,
yes, extravagantly dull.
That was boring, really, but that was dull.
What are you talking about?
More dull than boring, and yes, uninformative, and lies.
You see...
I'll throw that in as well. Otherwise, splendid.
Cicero is one of the... And Cicero was supposed to have written jokes as well. That doesn't sound very funny to me. I think you were going on a bit, and I think it was a little bit off the subject.
Well, you go on a bit, too, and you're always dull, but they don't chuck you off.
They haven't chucked you off.
You don't know anything about Cicero anyway.
I know it probably as much as you do.
You know nothing. You couldn't name one of the works, could you? A cheap trick, dropping the case there, trying so that you look as though he's filling in. You know what I mean? Got no answer at all. Couldn't name a line, could you?
Yes, Presidium minus Euquirium Optum omnes quit. Rushton has the subject of Cicero.
Cicero was, of course, best known for his oratory. He was a master of tub-thumping. He would stand up in the Senate in Rome in his toga and engage them for hours on some of the most boring, dull, stupid issues of the day. They would all drop off, go to sleep.
So William Rushton kept going then to the whistle. He got an extra point and he's now... he's in third place now.
I thought he outbored Kenneth.
No, I thought he spoke rather loud for once. Sheila, the subject is compassion. Will you tell us something on that in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I think as I'm sitting in fourth place, I am deserving of a bit of compassion. So here I go. It's strange that you should choose this subject, because I was thinking only the other day what quality I would most prefer my children to have, and I finally decided that I would like compassion. Because I feel that with that quality, the world would be a better place. Because it would mean that each human being would respect one another. And not only other people, but towards oneself. Because occasionally people are too harsh on their own selves, and they feel guilty about things which they shouldn't. And children particularly.
Kenneth Williams, a child.
We've had children and people twice.
Yes, I'm afraid you did have children before. It was a very compassionate plea, and you've all gone very quiet, haven't we?
Kenneth. Well, after all, it is Christmas.
There are 24 seconds, Kenneth, for you to talk on the subject of compassion, starting now.
Well, one of the most compassionate, of course, was St. Francis. I mean, the one of Assisi and not Xavier. And in a train once, a gentleman asked his fellow traveller what was particular about him. And he said, well, he talked of the birds and the bees and the animals and was a friend to everyone. It's how delightful. Really, I never realized that he was that kind of fellow. And the other man...
That whistle ruined it, because I was telling you, this man said who was St. Francis, and the other man explained who he was, and then he said to the other bloke, where are you from? And he said, San Francisco.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Cicero still.
Of course, we ought to have a game called Just 5 Minutes.
Right, William Rushton, we're back with you, and the subject is useless inventions. You tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now.
It has been said that necessity is the mother of invention. Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Hesitation, repetition, and deviation.
Yeah. You were a bit late. I'm afraid Sheila got in before you. Sheila, what was your challenge?
Hesitation.
That was a correct challenge.
Brain damage.
So you have 47 seconds on useless inventions starting now.
Actually, it appears to me that we are getting an awful lot of useless inventions. For instance, I've got some sort of mixer with endless attachments. For instance, a potato scraper and a bean slicer.
Kenneth Williams.
For instance, twice.
Yes, Kenneth, you have 34 seconds for useless inventions starting now.
Well, they aren't really useless, any of them, because there's always something someone can do with the odd implement. The only thing that can be said to be truly useless is that thing which fulfills no function at all. And, of course, there wouldn't be any instrument which could be described in those terms. No, even a
Sheila Hancock, John.
Instrument. Repeated instrument.
14 seconds left, Sheila, on useless inventions starting now.
And I find these particular implements that I mentioned before I was rudely interrupted.
Peter Jones,
a repetition of implement.
Yes, I didn't say implement.
Yes, you did. Yes, you said it before, yes.
I'm sorry,
and you just said you said it before.
Voice with your own. Petard, you are.
I did.
But you just said you said it before. You said those implements that I mentioned before.
But I mentioned them in a different way before.
No, you mentioned the word implement.
All right.
You said something about some implement that was attached to it that peeled a potato while doing the washing up. There are 10 seconds for useless inventions, Peter, starting now.
Well, I do agree with Sheila that most of them seem to be situated in the kitchen. There are also a vast number of them attached...
Sheila Hancock, Jones.
No, I don't think most of them are situated in the kitchen.
Well, that's your opinion as opposed to Peter's. He wasn't deviating
he
from the...
He said he agreed with me that most of them are situated in the kitchen. I never said that, and I don't think that.
Well, that was an informed guess on my part.
Well, if you didn't say it, then obviously he was deviating. So, Sheila, you have the subject of useless inventions with 3 seconds to go, starting now.
You usually have to spend a great deal of time cleaning them.
Kenneth, your turn to begin, and the subject is 3 a.m.
Oh, dear.
That's an offbeat subject, isn't it? Can you talk about it in just a minute, starting now?
I was once told by Reverend Dominie that this was the hour at which the human body is at its lowest ebb, and so I should think it must be about 3 a.m. right now. On the other hand, it can be if you're at some riotous gathering, a bacchanalian orgy, so to speak, which I said all of you crowd are off to at this Christmas period, reading about the streets, all that alcohol swishing around inside, then 3 a.m. can be a period of enormous hypertension, where the mind is seething with ideas and suggestions as you nudge alongside a fellow guest and make a suggestion as to how you should pass.
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Suggestions.
Yeah, too many suggestions going on at 3 a.m. in the morning. And
the pathetic nature of an orgy when nudging is the only. Just for a nudge.
Everything's got to begin somehow.
Nudging.
Bacchanalian nudge, I like that.
Sheila Hancock, you have the subjects 3 a.m. and you have 15 seconds starting now.
As a person who suffers occasionally from insomnia...
Kenneth Williams, chance.
Insomnia, not insomnia, so therefore deviation.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Kenny.
You suffer from insomniacs. That's all right.
She said insomnia, and she has 10 seconds on 3 a.m. starting now.
3 a.m. is a particularly awful time of the night, particularly if you're lying next to somebody who is...
Peter Jones.
Particularly.
Yes, I'm a particularly right, and there are 5 seconds for you on 3 a.m. starting now.
Well, it's a rather nice hour, I think. Everyone is just waking up and going out.
Well, the situation's very close. They're neck and neck. Sheila Hancock, Peter Jones, and Kenneth Williams. William Rushton's trailing a little. And Sheila, your turn to begin. The subject is flat feet. You sound as if your arches have dropped.
Yes, they have.
Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I have suffered all my life from flat feet. When I was a very little girl, it was defined as the metatarsal arch, which instead of going upwards, went downwards. And I spent all my break picking daisies with my toes, which were supposed, according to the remedial teacher, to cure this said lump. However, it didn't, and I still crawl around after a day's shopping, moaning in agony at these fallen flat feet. And it is a miserable existence. No cure can be found. It's no good sticking those little rubber things under your arch.
Well, this is beyond the game. It's become a cry for help. I mean, you know, the last minute you were describing your insomnia. Now you're on about your flat feet. We can't. Go on.
Just please, for a whole festive tide.
Yeah. Well, what was your challenge anyway, Peter?
Depressing the audience at this being un-Christmassy. I mean, who's in the lead at the moment?
We're all very, very close. Sheila's just in the lead.
Sheila's in the lead already, yes. Well, there you are.
Well, what's your challenge?
Repetition of flat.
True, but it's on the card.
Oh, yes.
Yes, but you could have said, which she did say, her fallen flat feet.
And yes, I know. I didn't think it was nice to mention them.
Yeah. The arches that fall, not the feet.
Ah, yes.
Sheila, you've got to go on with your flash teeth, I'm afraid.
How many minutes?
I haven't had a correct challenge. There are 20... not minutes.
20?
Seconds, not minutes.
Oh, I must have been talking for longer than that.
Seemed longer.
Seems eternal.
Well, you were rather flat-footing it. But
I
if you time keep going, you start now.
Despite my flat feet, I seem somehow to have struggled to the lead in this game. And I may be talking rather boringly and flat-footedly. However, I have endeavoured to surpass Willie Rushton, Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams on my two little flat feet. Not so very small, actually.
Peter Jones a challenge.
Repetition of little.
Yes. There are 2 seconds, Peter, starting now.
I suffered from them as a child, overcame it with willpower.
At the end of that round, Sheila Hancock is 1 ahead of Peter Jones, who's 1 ahead of Kenneth Williams, who's 4 ahead of William Rushton. And William, your turn to begin. Slang. Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Being a Londoner, of course, the most popular form of slang is Cockney rhyming slang. Cockneys say such stupid things as, I am...
Kenneth Williams has chance.
I played Cockney twice, wasn't
it? I know, but he's only played the game once before, and give him a chance.
Well, you speak for yourself. I don't want to hear about it.
William, would you tell us something about slang with 53 seconds left, starting now?
The inhabitants of this great metropolis.
I'm in great hesitation.
I'm going to give it again for that
1.5 seconds must be left.
51 seconds, Kenneth, on slang starting now.
This, of course, is when words become corrupted and take a form that they did not have hitherto. As we have the original expression, God be with you, we now have goodbye, and the whole thing has become corrupted. Yet the slang has become orthodox. And very often, this happens in the language. It's...
Sheila, what was your challenge?
Repetition of...
And it sounded just as what Sheila said, mumbling away. And I would tell you, I just had a message. This is going to be the last subject. And it's 32 seconds on slang, Sheila, starting now.
A lot of people disapprove of slang, but despite that, I am one of the people that Kenneth talks about who think it adds flavour to a language. Little words like crikey and...
Kenneth Williams.
I seem to be jattering to a halt.
So, hesitation?
Yeah.
Good, all right. So you have 19 seconds on slang, Kenneth, starting now.
The slang which proceeds from the kind of thing that Miss Hancock was just discussing, and which I cannot, within the rules of this game, repeat, is a disgrace, and I shall not deal with it because I consider it a matter which is naturally indelicate with this charming and decorous and...
Well, as I said a moment ago, we were reaching the end of the game, so now let me give you the final score. William Rushton, returning after only having played the game once before, finished in fourth place, a little way behind Peter Jones. And he was about 3 points behind Sheila Hancock and 4 behind this week's winner, Kenneth Williams. You have enjoyed listening to Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.